From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. There are some empty desks this fall in classrooms in New Bedford, Massachusetts. In March, federal immigration agents arrested 361 people working illegally at a leather goods factory there. Most were women with school-age children born in the U.S., and that has school leaders concerned. They worry that the raid has so traumatized immigrant families that many have gone into hiding and kept their children out of school. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports.
Undocumented workers in New Bedford have been hiding in plain view for decades. Now, many are just hiding. A three-story apartment building at the end of a narrow, steep spiral stairway. A middle-aged woman no taller than 4'10", black hair pulled tight in a bun, answers the door of a small apartment. A little boy clings to the woman's dress. He groans. He doesn't speak, she says, but he was born in this country, as if that somehow made up for her son's disability. We sit at a tiny table against the kitchen wall. It's really dark. She's $200 behind on the electric bill, so she's trying to use as little electricity as possible.
My name is Dominga. And the problem that I'm going through now, I'm feeling like I'm traumatized by the tristeza of my husband.
¿Qué pasó? ¿Cómo, en dónde estaba usted cuando sucedió todo esto?
Yo estaba trabajando.
On March 6th of this year, Dominga's husband, Ricardo García Gómez, was arrested at Michael Bianco Incorporated, a defense contractor which produces safety vests and backpacks for U.S. troops in Iraq. Ricardo entered the U.S. illegally back in 1994 and had been working at Bianco less than 2 months when U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents raided the place. Dominga, who uses a different last name for fear of being deported, was working at another factory that morning. She tells me her supervisors thought they were next. They panicked and fired her and dozens of workers on the spot.
Yo llamé en el celular para que me fuera a recoger. Entonces tuve que pedir ride a una compañera del trabajo.
I called my husband's cell phone. No answer, she says. She got a ride to the Centro Guadalupano at St. James Church, which had been fielding calls from its huge Latino congregation. There, Dominga finally heard from Ricardo.
Él me llamó, mírame, no te preocupes, yo ya estuve. Cuídate y cuídate mucho el nene, me dijo. Ahí hablamos después, pero él ya tenía amarrado sus manos todas.
He said, don't worry, just take care of yourself and our son. I felt horrible, says Dominga, stunned, not sure what to do. Across town, New Bedford school officials say they kind of felt the same way.
Because even in trying to understand this dynamic, until you experience it, until people get to see it, I don't think that the school district or any other school district could be really prepared.
Fred Fuentes is special assistant to the superintendent of schools in New Bedford. He says the day after the raid, he sent letters in Spanish and Portuguese, reassuring parents that it was safe to keep their children in school, that no one was going to turn them over to immigration. Still, attendance dropped off. Some of the children who returned have not been the same since, says Fuentes.
Kids were coming into the schools all traumatized, and they've been like that. There have been some counseling supports. We have some supports at the schools. There's some wraparound services from the community that are there. There's not to the extent that everyone needs it. But more than the kids being traumatized, you have whole families being traumatized.
¿Tienes experiencia en inglés o clases?
Yes.
¿Eres de dónde?
A few doors down from Fuentes' office, student registrations this fall have slowed to a trickle. Overall, though, the number of kids whose parents are undocumented has been growing in New Bedford every year. The vast majority of these students were born here. They're U.S. citizens. Based on school records, Fuentes estimates that between 200 to 300 children and teenagers were left without one or both parents after the raid. Those numbers sound made up, says Mark Raimundi, a spokesman for ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
I like dealing with facts, and right now what you have is speculative guesses. What isn't speculative is the fact that we coordinated this enforcement action months in advance with the Massachusetts public safety officials, social services officials. So ICE took extraordinary efforts to ensure that the correct entities were informed on the enforcement action and had time to get their plans in place to deal with their responsibilities.
namely to make sure that the children of illegal workers who were caught were taken care of, says Raimondi. It's clear, though, that the dramatic increase in immigration raids across the country, in Iowa, Georgia, Minnesota, Massachusetts, have created a humanitarian quandary for federal, state, and local governments. Separating children from their parents, even if they are in the U.S. illegally, is a nasty business that states are expected to handle. ICE says it's strictly a law enforcement agency, not a social service agency. In Massachusetts, state officials say they're still not confident that the next time federal agents raid a factory, they'll get the information or lead time they need to coordinate child protective services. In the end, though, says Raimondi, it's parents themselves who put their children at risk by being in this country illegally, not the U.S. government. For undocumented immigrants who've gone into hiding in New Bedford, meanwhile, the situation is getting desperate.
Hello? Hello? ¿Dónde? Ok, está bien, gracias.
Without a job, Dominga is living on charity. She gets calls every now and then from friends about house cleaning jobs, but she can't find anyone to care for her 4-year-old son. All the babysitters she knew have fled to Connecticut. The Catholic Church helped her with $990, enough for 2 months' rent, and a food bank has provided groceries. Her little boy, though, isn't eating well. Today, he's upset about something. He thinks his father is coming home any day now, says Dominga.
Él buscaba y me enseñaba la ropa. Me enseñaba la ropa y miraba ahí por la ventana, porque siempre hacía cuando él venía del trabajo. Cuando miraba el que ya llegó aquí, ya luego viene a esperar en la puerta.
He points to his father's clothes in the closet and stands by the window every afternoon waiting for him to arrive from work. Dominga says as long as her husband is in custody, she will stay in hiding, even if it means not putting her son back in the special education program he was in last year.
Yo sé que nosotros no hemos hecho un delito, lo único que el error tenemos es tener papeles. Es el problema. Pues si ya no nos quieren aquí, pues que nos...
I know we've broken the law, says Dominga. I know this country does not want us. So what future do we have here? It's time to go home, she says. I can't stay here anymore. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.